This is your NPR news station, 90.3 WBHM and 91.5 WSGN. I'm Andrew Yeager. A bill allowing Alabama to borrow hundreds of millions of dollars to build new prisons moved forward this week, passing a Senate committee less than a week after two violent uprisings at Holman Correctional Facility in South Alabama. To talk about that bill and the rest of the news from Montgomery is Don Daly, host of Alabama Public Television's Capital Journal. Daly tells WBHM's Rachel Lindley about how the recent prison violence moved legislators.
I think the violence at Holman Prison in Atmore last week certainly reinvigorated this debate and put a renewed emphasis on the importance of what Governor Bentley has proposed, which is building four new prisons with an up to $800 million bond issue. The governor went to Holman Prison this week, spoke of that very thing, as did Corrections Commissioner Jefferson Dunn. I think that's a foregone conclusion where this bill is concerned. Most of the debate at the committee hearing this week centered around the contracting phase of this legislation. What they want to do is designate one so-called design-build contractor who would be in charge of this project. There would obviously be subcontractors, but one main design-build contractor. That brought up some concerns about contractors feeling they might be shut out of the process. And Governor Bentley said this week that he has put measures into the legislation to ensure that both Alabama contractors and minority contractors would have a shot at getting some of this work, and he knew that that had been a concern.
At the ballot box this year, Alabama voters are now going to have a chance to approve adding right-to-work language to the state's constitution. This came up earlier in the session but failed. Remind me, what exactly is this right-to-work amendment, and how did we get here?
Many have brought up during this debate that Alabama already has a right-to-work law, and we certainly do. So some felt that this legislation was unnecessary. Its sponsor, Representative Arnold Mooney from Shelby County, said that he wanted to enshrine this law into the Constitution to give it even more merit, more strength, if you will. One of the big bones of contention has been over the fact that you can't require as a condition of employment asking an employee to refrain from joining a union. That's where a lot of the debate over this legislation centered. But Representative Mooney says he feels like it's a vital thing to continue our prosperity where economic development is concerned. And he felt it was just the next logical step to take our existing right-to-work law and enshrine it in the Constitution.
Another interesting note from the legislature this week, not having to do with any specific legislation, Republican Senator Paul Bussmann from Cullman was removed from an influential committee, and he spoke yesterday on the Senate floor saying that this was punishment for some of his views. Tell me about this story.
Yes, Senator Bussmann has served as the vice chair of the Rules Committee, which, as I'm sure you know, is a pretty powerful committee in both chambers of the legislature. They basically help decide the order of business for each legislative day. Senator Bussmann was very vocal about the news that he was being removed from the committee, and it comes after a couple of interesting sequence of events, one in which Senator Del Marsh, the president pro tem of the Senate, said that Bussmann attempted to bring up an alternative agenda on the floor without consulting leadership. And it also comes after Senator Bussmann voted against Senator Marsh's PREP Act in committee. And Senator Bussmann has contended that this move to take him off of the Rules Committee is punishment and an attempt to silence him. And he says if that's the case, that it will not work, that he will continue to speak out and even vote no on issues that he feels like his conscience is leading him to vote no on.
There's been movement on the budget that passed committee last week. Governor Robert Bentley said that this budget would be vetoed if it reached his desk because it did not provide what he considered adequate funding for Medicaid. Well, that version of the budget was approved by the House this week, and now it can move on to the Senate. What do we see with this budget now, Don, prior to the spring break recess the legislature's taking?
Indeed, the spring break coming week after next, and there is talk that the Senate will take up the House-passed version as early as next week before they leave to go on spring break. Obviously, with the House making some changes to the Senate-passed version of the general fund, the Senate has to concur, and we've heard some rumblings in the State House this week that the Senate may be prepared to concur as early as next week. If they do that, obviously, as you point out, Governor Bentley has said he would veto such a budget. And if he does veto it after the Senate concurs next week, the legislature would have time to come back after spring break and override the veto. The rule says 10 days, and they would have an adequate amount of time to come back after spring break and override the veto.
In addition to the action on the budget next week, what are legislators trying to accomplish before they do hit that spring break recess?
We've been seeing a lot of action on smaller type bills. I don't know that we'll see many highly controversial bills come up before spring break. Obviously, we're not going to get to the education budget before spring break. The Senate won't. Of course, the House last week passed the education budget, and so far it's not on the agenda for the Senate to take up next week, the Senate committee, which is where it will head next. But the Senate, as I say, may be prepared to at least concur with the House-passed general fund budget before they go home.
That's Don Daly, host of Capital Journal on Alabama Public Television, speaking with WBHM's Rachel Lindley. You can catch Don each Friday on WBHM during the legislative session.